Hello, beloved, and welcome to this evening's message from the book of Revelation. And specifically, tonight we're going to look at the church in Thyatira. Very, very interesting. Revelation chapter 2, verse 18 to 29. So if you want to turn there, Salong, please do so. What I would like us to do first is let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's such a privilege to come to you in the glorious, wonderful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And thank you that we can read the book of Revelation, in which Jesus Christ is revealed to us. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I pray as we look at the next church, of the churches which Jesus wrote to, I pray, Father, please, reveal to us what your word has to say to us so we can understand, take it to heart, and apply it in our lives, those practical things that we learn. This I pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Right, we look at the church in Thyatira. Revelation chapter 2, verse 18. Let's just read the first three verses because we're not going to get further than that for tonight, but let's read it. It says, "And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, These things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass. Verse 19, I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants, to commit sexual immorality, and eat things sacrificed to idols." Right, up to there. Because at the end of the day, I mean, that's a mouthful, but I think it's something that we can work with for this evening. Now, let me just read verse 18 again. "To the angel of the church in Thyatira write, These things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass." Now, this letter is addressed to the pastor, just like the other letters, or the elder of the congregation in Thyatira. But what is interesting is the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is identified for the first time. You see, he says, "These things says the Son of God." Can you see that? In the other letters to the churches so far, some attribute of Jesus Christ is mentioned, but here, he reveals himself as the Son of God. Now, it is clear that Jesus Christ is speaking from a position of authority. Remember, he is the one who is in charge. He is over all the churches. So he has authority over the churches. He is the head of the church. Now, if he had said that he is the Son of Man, it would have focused the attention on his humanity. But in this case, Jesus reveals himself as the Son of God, the Divine One, who has all authority in heaven and on earth. Remember in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." That's sometimes something we forget, as that Jesus Christ has all authority. Right? He's the only one with all the authority. And he has authority in heaven and on earth. And this is kind of what we see here in Revelation chapter 2, verse 18, is that Jesus Christ, as the Son of God, has all authority. And he should be listened to. And why? Because of his position. He has the authority. We should listen to him, and anybody who listens, who basically reads this letter should listen to him. Not only the church in Thyatira, but every single one who reads this must submit to his authority, because he is in authority. Now, what is said about the Son of God should basically stop anyone in his or her tracks. Because Jesus says, He has eyes like a flame of fire. Now, this basically means that he sees everything. There is nothing that is hidden from his sight. Beloved, in a sense, that should scare us. Now, we know that we are, we are covered in the blood of Christ. We have been forgiven of our sin. But there are times that we kind of love to have our little secret sins that we hide away. And we think nobody sees it. And this idea of Jesus Christ that has eyes like a flame of fire that kind of illuminates everything, that shines on everything, that can actually destroy everything, because a fire is something that destroys, né? But there's also this idea that nothing is hidden from his sight. There is nothing that happens in the congregation that Jesus Christ doesn't know about. Because he's the one who searches everything. He even searches the hearts of the members. So no wonder that Jesus can tell the seven congregations exactly what was going on in them. Because he has the ability. Not only the authority, he has the ability to know things that the churches might try to hide from him. Beloved, and I believe that's why churches need to be extremely transparent with regards to their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and they should not try to hide things from him. He is the one who sees all. Don't try to hide things from him. And then, in our own personal lives, why do we try to hide things from the one who can see all things? That's foolishness. Rather, I believe, what we need to do is to make sure that we are like an open book before the Lord. Make sure that you confess all the sins that you've committed. As the Holy Spirit basically convicts you of a sin, reminds you of a sin, bring it before the Lord and ask for forgiveness. And he says, he will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness in 1 John chapter 1. We can trust him. But the thing is still, he has eyes like a flame of fire. But then he also says that his feet is like fine brass. Now this most probably refers to the fact that Jesus is majestic. He is glorious. He is awesome as he walked among the churches. You know, this the shiny brass, fine, shiny brass that has been made bright as he walks among his churches. Wow. Just that picture is amazing. Eyes of flame. Feet that he uses to walk with. That's like fine brass as he walks in majesty and glory among his churches. Oh, what a picture of Christ. Beloved, no wonder the book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Because it is just absolutely beautiful what is being said about him. Now, when we get to verse 19, we see that Jesus is now going to evaluate the church of Thyatira. As he does with each one of the seven churches, by the way. So Jesus says in verse 19, he says, I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience, and as for your works, the last are more than the first. Okay, so it's clear that Jesus knows everything that is to be known about this congregation. He knows everything that is done in this congregation. He knows the good things and he knows the bad things. Now he mentions their love and their service, their faith and their patience. That's so beautiful. He knows their love. Eh? Their love towards God. Their love towards fellow brothers and sisters. Their love towards their neighbor. This agape love. He knows it. Okay. He knows their works. He knows what they do. When they do it. How they do it. The motives of what they're doing. But he also knows their service. Now he knows their ministry. He knows their faith. That's their saving faith towards Jesus Christ. He knows whether they are saved or not. He knows whether some of the members of the church are faking it. He knows whether people are hypocrites. He knows everything about them. But then he also knows their patience. That, you know, that patient endurance that they have. He knows all of it. And he commends them, basically, for their works. The works is works that flow from their love and their service and their faith and their patience. And it's like a fruit of, you know, of this love that they have for God and for Christ. The service that they have in God's kingdom and their faith towards Christ and their patient endurance as they wait upon the return of Christ and to be united with Him. And what happens now is that there's fruits that come from that, or works that comes from it. Now, what is noticeable here is the fact that their works have increased. Now, as the church grew, so that their works become more. Remember, their works were the fruit of love and service and faith and patience. Now, so their works, was increasingly visible in the congregation as time went on. And that's a beautiful thing. If a church's works can become more visible, if a church's works can be seen, it is just absolutely beautiful, especially if there's growth within the church. All right, then we get to verse 20. And in verse 20, Jesus starts to address some of the problems in the church. So we've just seen the positives, né? The fact that they're increasing in their works, and that their works actually flows from their love and service and faith and patient endurance. It's so beautiful. But then verse 20, there's a problem, because he starts off by saying, nevertheless. So he's saying, even though you are increasing in works, you know, as a fruit of your love and service and faith and patience and so on, nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow that woman Jezebel, that calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. So here in verse 20, Jesus is stating the problem. In verse 21, Jesus tells the church what he did to basically remedy this situation, to sort it out. And in verse 22, he tells the church what is going to happen to her. And in verse 23, Jesus tells the church what is going to happen to everyone who followed after Jezebel. But let's start with the problem in verse 20. The church, firstly, tolerated Jezebel. Now, that's a problem in itself. Why did they tolerate Jezebel? But they did. That's the problem, right? Now, who Jezebel actually was is unknown. We don't know. But what we do know is what she did. And we can say that Jezebel is not, most probably not her real name. I believe that Jesus uses the name Jezebel because it refers back to the characteristics of Ahab's wife, Jezebel. You remember that in the Old Testament? Now, Jezebel had a lot of influence over her husband. Jezebel was the daughter of King Etbal, the king of Tyre and Sidon, or Sidon. He lived about 918 years before Christ, and Jezebel was basically an idolater. She influenced her husband to become an idolater, just like her. She was influential. She was persuasive. She was artful. She basically accomplished her plans, no matter what. She was, a hard-headed woman. She was one of those persistent women, those women that you can be sure of that will get what she wants. In fact, in a sense, you can say that Jezebel was a power-hungry woman. Now, when Jesus gives this woman the name Jezebel, I believe that he was probably saying that she had the following characteristics. Just to give you an idea, she was artful. Now, she had a way of doing things. She was persuasive in her manners. She had wide influence over others. She had talents of a high order. This was a brilliant woman, by the way. But then she was an advocate of error, not truth, of error. And she would do whatever it takes to get what she wants. She would ultimately lead her followers into idolatry. Okay? And idolatry normally includes sexual immorality. And that's exactly what happened in the church of Thyatira. Now, in this case of Jezebel, she got herself into the church of Thyatira. This is just absolutely mind-boggling. Somehow, she got it right to get into the church of Thyatira. And then what she did as well is she got herself into a position as being a teacher in the church. Listen to verse 20. It says, "Nevertheless, I have a few things against you because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess." So she calls herself a prophetess. Jesus doesn't acknowledge the fact that she was a prophetess. She calls herself a prophetess, but listen to what she does. He says, "to teach and seduce my servants." So she got herself into a position of being able to teach God's people. Now, beloved, listen very carefully. There's a very good reason why there are elders in churches, why they must be apt to teach, and why they have oversight over the church. The elders are there to make sure that people like this, like Jezebel, doesn't get into the church and at the end of the day cause a lot of problems within the church, actually bring in serious sin within the church. So, in a sense, the fact that she came into the church, or she got a means to get into the church, we can say is a failure of the elders of the church. They failed. The elders of Thyatira failed. So this is a reflection on them. But if the leadership is bigger and wider and so on, it is also a reflection on them. But it's also a reflection on the members. Ultimately, the greatest responsibility is on the elders, but I do believe there's also responsibility on the other leaders and on the members of the church, not to allow somebody like this to come into the church. But the elders are responsible for the teaching in the church, so they are the ones who are supposed to know the people who are teaching and give them permission to teach within the church, because everything teaching-wise goes through the elders. All right, now, so she got it right to get into the church in Thyatira as a teacher, teaching, basically. Now, it's clear in the scripture that women are not supposed to teach men in the first place. So how in the world did she get it right to teach the men? She's not allowed to, according to scripture. No? It's not acceptable for a woman to teach a man. So there was already problems. No? There was unscriptural things happening. And by the way, beloved, I struggle sometimes because in my heart, for example, when I speak to people and we say a woman is not allowed to teach a man and a woman is not allowed to pastor a church, we say, but that's discrimination against women. That's downplaying women. But it's not. The rules that Christ set up for the church hasn't changed. He's the one who made the rules, not us. It is Him. So what we do is, we apply what the Word of God says. We don't reinterpret it so it fits into our narrative, or it fits into our society, or into the norms that we have now. No. What we do is, we apply what Scripture says. We do what Scripture says. So the fact that Jezebel came in, or this Jezebel woman, that she came in and that she was able to teach the church, And Jesus says she was able to teach and seduce my servants. That might include men. Okay? And the fact that she could do that is this church went against what Christ expected from them. Now, we have the scriptures. We have all of scripture. Obviously, they didn't have it. Okay, but we have all of scripture that teaches us that a woman is not allowed to teach men. But this woman, she got herself into a prominent teaching position within the church. And she was allowed by the leadership of the church to spread her poison in the church. It's so sad. It's like that warning that Paul gave to the Ephesian elders. You remember Ephesians, Acts chapter 20? When he warned about grievous wolves that will come in from outside and even from within. There will be grievous wolves that will not spare the flock but try to destroy the flock. This woman is one of those wolves that came in from outside and came in to destroy the church. So just the fact that she came in, just the fact that she came in and taught God's people and seduced God's people, I believe it's reason enough for Christ to react the way that he did. It just makes sense that Jesus would react like that. You see, this Jezebel also claimed to be a prophetess. Now, this was probably to ensure that she was heard. Because remember, you can't just be a normal member and come in and teach all kinds of heresies and all kinds of nonsense. You can't do that. So she comes in and she calls herself a prophetess. She's not a prophetess at all. But that's what she does. Because that kind of places her on a higher level than the normal members, that now she can come and talk. And I've seen this so many times in the years that I've been involved in ministry. I have seen people come into the church or into a group and they call themselves a prophet, or they call themselves an apostle, or they call themselves an evangelist, or they give themselves, well, even pastors. They call themselves pastor or reverend or whatever, and they come into a group of people. And that kind of gives them the open door to be able to share with the people. And that is, yeah, that's sneaky. That's false. All right, but Jezebel claimed to be a prophetess. Okay, so that she can be heard. And let's say she was definitely a prophetess, but she wasn't a prophetess of God. She was a false prophet, or a false prophetess. But still, and this is the thing, the church allowed her to come in. Beloved, this should be a warning to us. Get to know the people, get to know what they teach, get to know what they stand for, and watch out to give them a position or a platform to teach. Now, we know from scripture that they were actually prophetesses. You know, Miriam, for example, Deborah, Huldah, they were real prophetesses. You know, they were true prophetesses, and they were prophesying, and they were prophetesses to the glory of God. But this Jezebel, no. She seduced some people in the church to commit sexual fornication, sexual immorality. Now, it's possible that she also committed fornication, and it's possible that she committed fornication, not just, you know, fornication in the sense of she was doing it on her own, maybe with people outside the church, but it's possible that she did it to people in the church, that she was busy with sexual fornication with some of the church members. And, I mean, this is completely unacceptable. Yet, this is what was happening. All right. Now, this Jezebel character also seduced some in the church to eat things that was sacrificed to idols. She seduced some in the church to start attending idol worship feasts, you know, where idols are worshipped. Or the feasts where they have these feasts for the idols, where the idols are worshipped. And then normally at these feasts, the people would participate in the sacrifices of these idols. right? Because it's a kind of an idol worship feast, so they would sacrifice these offerings to the idols, and then that would be a form of idol worship. And then these people that would participate, and she would get them to participate in these things, they would then eat the sacrificed meat that was sacrificed to these idols. You're thinking, that's the problem with this is, once a person starts to participate in the feasts, you know, where idols are worshipped, it doesn't normally take very long to start practicing idol worship with the other idol worshippers. If you mix yourself with idol worshippers, you're going to end off being an idol worshipper yourself. It just works like that. The influence is just, it's how it works. Now, this Jezebel character, she seduced some of the church members to get involved and to participate in these idol feasts or idol worship feasts or whatever you want to call it, idolatry feasts, so that at the end of the day, they participated in these feasts and it ended up getting them to the point where they started eating the sacrifices that was brought to these idols. And it could have led later on that they would get involved in idol worship themselves. Now, this was a major issue that needed to be addressed in the church. In verses 21, 22, and 23, Jesus does exactly that. All right? But God willing, we will look at that next week. Now, what does all of this mean for us today? I mean, in Newcastle Baptist Church, what does it mean? Well, I was thinking about it, and I was pondering on this in my mind, and I thought to myself, well, looking at what happened, I think first, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, sees everything that happens within a local church. He sees things that are visible, and he sees the things that are hidden. And I think this is a reminder for us to remember that nothing goes by Christ. Nothing slips by. He sees it all. Not only in the church, but also in our own personal lives. Remember that Christ Jesus sees everything. I think that's the first thing that I see and I learn from this passage of Scripture. The second thing that I learn is that Jesus Christ is worthy to dwell and to walk among His churches. Why? Because He's the head of the church. He's the Son of God. He has all the authority. He is worthy. And what we need to do is we need to acknowledge the fact that Jesus Christ is worthy to dwell among us in Newcastle Baptist Church. And that should be our longing, is that Christ Jesus would dwell among us, and when He speaks to us as a church, that He should speak to us in such a way that He says, good and faithful servants, you know, when, and He would say, I know your works, and I know what you've done, and fine by me. Beloved, we need to, how can I say, Christ needs to feel, and this is very simplistic, but I believe that Christ needs to feel welcome in Newcastle Baptist Church. Actually, in all congregations, because all congregations belong to Him. He needs to be worthy, because He is worthy. We need to express the fact that He is worthy. In our worship, it's in our giving, in our singing, in our in our praise and worship, in our prayer, in our fellowship, in every single thing. We must make sure that Christ is exalted as being worthy to be among us. For He is worthy. If we become too full of ourselves and we push Christ out because of our, how can I say, our pride and our self-love and all these kind of things, touching on this morning's message. Beloved, Christ is worthy. And he's not going to take nonsense from his church. And we can see it from the seven churches. Don't play around with him. He's worthy. And what we need to do is, we need to acknowledge that he is worthy. We need to acknowledge that he is walking among his churches. We need to acknowledge that he has all authority. We need to acknowledge that he is superior, that he is amazing. And we do that by, how can I say, in our worship service, to do what we do in that sense, to glorify him, to show, and to show that he is worthy. Right. The third thing that I learned from this passage is that Jesus evaluates the church based on spiritual criteria, not based on physical criteria. He looks at spiritual criteria, things like love and ministry and faith and patience, and whether there is faith that growth that's taking place or not. That's how he evaluates his church. Beloved, listen, question is, us in Newcastle Baptist Church, are we growing spiritually? Are we glorifying God? Are we showing that Christ is worthy through the fact that we are growing, that we are becoming more mature in Christ, that we are living holier lives than we did yesterday? Are we truly living up to the spiritual criteria that Christ has for his church? How much do I love Christ? How much do I love God? How much do I love the church? How much do I love being in his presence? How much do I love to worship him? How much do I love the word? How much do I love the kingdom of God and everything that revolves around God? How much do I love him? When it comes to ministry, do I do ministry for the sake of just doing ministry, or do I serve and do ministry to the glory of God, to serve God's people? Do I really truly have faith in Jesus Christ unto salvation? Do I truly trust him as the only one who can save me? And do I trust him more today than I did yesterday? Am I patiently waiting on the Lord Jesus Christ's return? Am I being patient with God's people? Am I being patient with myself? Am I patiently waiting to be delivered from this body of sin, to be united with Christ forever and ever, and to receive my glorified body? Am I patient? Am I really growing spiritually? That's the question. Okay, and then the fourth thing that I've learned from this passage of scripture is that Jesus doesn't tolerate the person with the character traits of Jezebel. He doesn't tolerate such a person in the church, and neither should we. Beware of such a person. You see, if Jesus doesn't tolerate her, neither should we. We should make sure that the church is kept pure and holy the way that Jesus Christ intended the church to be. That's what we should do. Right, so God willing, beloved, we will, next time, we continue to look at how Jesus Christ responds to this so-called prophetess, this false prophetess who seduced the church into committing idolatry and committing sexual fornication. God willing, next time we'll look at that. So for tonight, that's it. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can come to you in the glorious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Thank you for revealing yourself to us. Thank you, Father, that you see everything, everything that happens in the church. Thank you so much that Christ Jesus is worthy, that he dwells among us, and that he walks among his churches. Thank you so much for that. And thank you that he evaluates the church. Thank you that he doesn't tolerate sin and someone like this Jezebel character. Thank you, Father. Thank you that we can know that there should be a great desire in us as a local body of believers to be holy. Because if that's our desire, we are 100% in line with what you want us to be and what you want us to do. Oh Father, please, I pray, make your word alive in us so that we may grow and become strong in Christ. This I pray not because we deserve anything, because we don't deserve anything. We pray this because we are so in need of you to come and touch us, to enable us to be everything that you want us to be. Help us, Father, we pray. Enable us. And also enable us to make sure that the church stays pure. This, Father, we pray in the glorious, wonderful name of the one above all names, the name Jesus Christ, that is revealed to us in the book of Revelation. Oh, thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved, thank you very much for listening to this evening's message. I hope you've been blessed. Such a blessing to prepare these messages, knowing that it's Jesus Christ speaking to his church. Absolutely amazing. Absolutely wonderful. So I want to pray that the Lord will bless you and keep you, that his face will shine upon you, and that he will give you his peace. And I pray that in this week to come, that we will think about what has been said, so that at the end of the day, we can be the church that Jesus Christ expects from us. God willing, until next time, bye-bye.